You're listening to Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
As great storms pound the British coast, after other massive storms washed over the Philippines and even New York City, we can only wonder what the costs and damage from seaborne flooding will be as the century goes on. A new paper published in the prestigious Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences tries to calculate just that. The paper is titled Coastal Flood Damage and Adaptation Costs Under 21st Century Sea Level Rise. This global projection was created by a team of scientists from Germany, several from British universities and the Tyndall Center, with more from Belgium, the Netherlands, and Austria. From the Berlin offices of the Global Climate Forum, I'm pleased to welcome the lead author of that paper, Dr. Jochen Hinkel. Hello, Dr. Hinkel.
Hello, Alex. How are you?
Fine, thank you, and I'm glad you could join us. So, in a nutshell, what was the purpose of organizing this study and the resulting paper?
Frankly, there was no global assessment of the total damages of increased storm surge flooding that sea level rise and climate change could cause.
Okay, well, reading the paper through, a great number of questions and difficulties arose in my mind. Why don't we start with the critical problem of estimating sea level rise? The paper suggests a big range of possibilities by the year 2100, from 23 centimeters, say 10 inches, all the way to 123 centimeters, or 4 feet. Why such a big difference in projections?
The main uncertainty in this projection comes from the ice sheets of Greenland and Antarctica. We don't have sufficient knowledge to say how fast these will melt. We know they are melting, and this melting has accelerated over the last years, but we don't know how this acceleration is going to go on. So research has just started to build physical models in order to explore ice sheet dynamics in more detail.
And we know the sea is not really level. For various reasons, water tends to pile up in some regions and not others. Did your study take this into account?
Yes, it did. I mean, indeed, there is sort of a dynamic effect due to ocean circulation that we have higher sea levels at one point of the world than in others. But these regional patterns, they may vary up to, 40, 50 centimeters of global mean sea level rise. However, they are much smaller than the total global mean sea level rise that is expected.
So will major cities, some of them experience more sea flood damage than others?
Well, I mean, it is known that, for example, on the east coast of the U.S., it is expected that sea levels rise faster due to those dynamic effects. Yeah, for that east coast, I think the difference is around 20 centimeters to the global mean by the end of this century.
What about the role of extreme storms like those hitting Britain this winter? Is storm surge included in this research, and how does that relate to what you've been studying?
Yes, I mean, we focus exclusively on damages done by storm surges. However, we do not model storm surges themselves. We just assume that we have the current storm surge regime, and this is sort of transferred upwards with rising sea levels. So meaning that if you have a 100-year storm and you have a global mean sea level rise of 1 meter, then this storm will be 1 meter higher after sea level has risen. This is sort of a standard assumption that pretty much works up till now, I mean, based on the observed evidence.
And Dr. Hinkel, you also find that humans are encroaching on the sea more and more, especially in cities. That's another factor, not really climate change. It's our activities. Tell us about that.
Yes, I mean, this factor is actually as relevant as sea level rise itself. So, I mean, well, there are basically two things going on. On the one hand, people are moving towards the sea because the sea is attractive. People like to live at the sea. Well, for recreational reasons or also for tourism, tourist industry, etc. And on the other hand, we have sort of overall growth in population, in particular in Asian and African countries. So just by taking the current trends in population, we expect that cities in coastal regions in Africa and Asia will grow dramatically during the century.
So what are the estimates for populations exposed to sea level flooding by 2100?
Well, this depends on the population scenario that you assume. what we have done, and which is also pretty standard, is that you take a couple of scenarios. Those are based on sort of overall assumptions about global development. And then you estimate what that means in terms of population numbers and in terms of GDP. And so what we have here under the scenarios, we assume global population will be between 7 and 14 billion in 2100. And if we estimate how many people will live below the 100-year flood, this will be between 90 and 310 million.
When we take into account the population trends you've spoken about and the current emission of paths, you worked out what percentage of the world population would be flooded annually by the end of this century. Could you tell us about that, please?
Yes. So this assumes that people don't adapt. So basically, if we don't do anything, if we just let sea level rise happen and don't change the way we live or build dikes or move away from the coast, then we estimate that around 600 million people will experience annual flooding in 2100.
And so what is it going to cost? What are the projected damages to the world's domestic product from this flooding alone?
So if we again assume no adaptation, then we estimate damages up to $100 trillion U.S. dollars per year in 2100. So this is the upper estimate, taking the highest population scenario, taking the highest sea level rise scenario.
And you've talked about adaptation. What can we do?
Well, I mean, there's a lot we can do, because sort of the other message of our paper is that if we adapt, the damages can be reduced dramatically. So if we upgrade dikes, for example, this is the scenario we analyzed, then the damages will only, well, in parentheses, will only be around 80 billion per year, which is more or less in the same order of magnitude as it is today. So today we are around 20, 30, 40 billion U.S. dollar per year damages done by storm surges.
You are listening to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith, talking with scientist Jochen Hinkel. He's the lead author of a new paper called Coastal Flood Damage and Adaptation Costs Under 21st Century Sea Level Rise. I'm going to assume that Asia and Africa don't match the capacity of the developed world to make these adaptations. I mean, how could they spend $10 billion on adapting new regimes for flooding?
I mean, first of all, and we're talking on the long time scale, and also people in Asia and people in Africa are going to get richer. But clearly now those countries cannot afford that. And so they would need international support in meeting the demand for increased flood protection.
Now, I was astounded to read in a recent study that was brought up by one of our guests, Professor J. Court Stevenson from the University of Maryland, that American scientists predict we will have flooding similar to Hurricane Sandy every year by about 2050, 2060. What could New York and Washington do to survive that?
Well, I mean, certainly there are many options. I mean, on the one hand, I mean, if you think about Long Island and sort of the exposed barrier islands or so, I mean, people could simply move away or retreat. I mean, of course, it's nice to live there, but it's also quite difficult to protect those. On the other hand, I mean, certainly Manhattan itself, it just cannot, we're never going to see the big cities move away from the coast. So there we need to build sea walls, we need to build barriers and groins and dikes, etc. So there are many options. And sort of what mix of options is best suited, that's really a question that requires detailed analysis for the particular case you're looking at.
Well, so far we've seen no successful agency able to mount an international response to climate change, really. Dr. Hinkel, who would be able to act on the warnings and recommendations in your study?
I mean, actually, I'm not that pessimistic in the sense that adaptation to sea level rise in terms of building dikes, it is something very common nowadays. And also, I mean, if you think about many cities of the world, they have experienced sea level rises of several meters during the 20th century, not due to climate change, but due to subsidence, human-induced subsidence, due to sediment compaction as a result of withdrawing ground fluids from the ground, they have subsided by several meters. So examples are Tokyo, Bangkok, Shanghai, etc. And they have managed to adapt by building dikes. Also, if you look at the UK, Netherlands, and Germany, I mean, there are many people living below the height of sea level protected by dikes. So, I mean, it's clear that this works, and it's also clear that this is going to happen if damages increase dramatically.
In addition to doing new science, the Global Climate Forum, of which you are part, aims to help organize different stakeholders to develop rational responses. What sort of follow-up will be done on the results of this study?
Well, we are looking at many cities in detail now. So, I mean, the question I raised before about the specific responses a particular location may take, that's sort of the next question we are addressing, and we are having a case study in Shanghai, for example, looking into those responses.
And I noticed that your department at GCF also includes something called social learning. How does that apply to this problem of a human population growing rapidly in areas dangerously overexposed to sea flooding?
Well, maybe a remark on sort of the mission of the GCF in general that you mentioned before. So, I mean, we believe that we need a dialogue amongst all the people involved in the problem in order to address those radical problems. I mean, the debate on climate change, it has been very much heated by sort of strong advocacy on the one hand and climate skepticism on the other hand. And I mean, this is not really a rational exchange of arguments amongst sort of grown-up people. I think it's very important to be analytic, to be open to debate and to different opinions, and this is what we're trying to do. So bringing that to the coastal situation, I mean, if you want to adapt to sea level rise, it's very important bringing all the people with the diverse interests together at one table and trying to figure out sort of win-win solutions, possibilities that offer sort of for everybody involved a viable future. If we don't do that, then this is never going to happen.
Our guest on Radio EcoShock has been Dr. Jochen Hinkel. He's with the Global Climate Forum, headquartered in Berlin. Dr. Hinkel is the lead author of a new PNAS study titled Coastal Flood Damage and Adaptation Costs Under 21st Century Sea Level Rise. You can find links to all you need to follow up on this story in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.info. Thank you very much for helping us out, Dr. Hinkel.
You're welcome.
I'm Alex. Please support this program at our website, ecoshock.org, and download all our past programs as free MP3s while you're there. Thank you for listening to Radio EcoShock.